You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're visiting with Kevin Freeman, a senior fellow of the Center for Security Policy and one of the country's preeminent authorities on the matter we're discussing with him in this full hour of a very special edition of Secure Freedom Radio, economic warfare, how it is being waged against us, potentially to our grave detriment. And Kevin, I had to interrupt you just to make a point about Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, a particularly insidious individual, it seems to me, and the role that he's playing in so many areas of our national life at the moment. But I did force you to stop talking about something I'm very keen to hear you continue on. Talk more about what the Saudis seem to be doing with an oil play at the moment and what it might mean for our economy as well as our energy security.
Well, two factors are important to understand. The first is that because of U.S. shale oil developments, we've kept oil prices below $150 a barrel, where they would have been, according to the Petroleum Institute, they would have been $150 a barrel if we did not have the domestic production. And the second point is the domestic production has been probably the majority of our economic growth and gains since the collapse of 2008. It's been the shale oil states, five states developing, Texas, North Dakota, and so forth, that have led this, and that's led the economic recovery that we've enjoyed. So it's very important to Americans that this industry continue. In fact, Ron Insano of CNBC said it is a national security imperative. Now, in that context, the Saudis have admitted that they have lowered price to make all of that development uneconomic, hoping it will go away and drive it out of business.
And where are we at the moment? Because the last I checked, we were down in the mid-50s for price of the barrel of oil. What do these shale oil developers need in order for their exploration and exploitation of this relatively expensive source of oil to be profitable?
Well, the price needed ranges from $30 a barrel to $60 a barrel as a minimum, but that's not the important factor. We'll continue pumping all the wells that we've drilled. They have a short shelf life. They'll last a couple of years, 2.5, 3 years before they start to peter out. What the problem is that no one will invest in drilling new wells as long as the price goes down. And if we stop this cycle of continually investing in drilling new wells, then we'd really destroy the whole potential for the American shale revolution to change the world energy picture. So we could be wiped out in 6 months to a year of very low prices if we don't do something to somehow protect the American industry.
And Kevin, what you're talking about then is a purposeful initiative by a country that has at the very best been playing a double game against us and at its worst is really very hostile to us as their Sharia doctrine dictates. There are, though, some others who are also being very badly affected by this price manipulation of the Saudis. Talk about, for example, one of the countries that they may well be actually aiming at least as much as our energy sector. It may be a twofer for them or a threefer, fourfer for whatever. But talk about Iran and what the implications are for them of this price fall.
Well, the last time I looked at the Iranian economic situation, they needed $90 a barrel oil just to meet and keep their government solvent and afloat. So it's probably higher than that now. But there could be massive unrest in Iran if you undercut. We tried sanctions and everything else, but a low oil price really does punish the Iranians. It also punishes Venezuela and Russia much more than it does the United States, because we actually have sectors that benefit strongly from low oil prices. There's a net real positive benefit to a number of areas of America, but it hammers the Iranians, it hammers the Russians, hammers Venezuela.
Because they basically depend on that as their principal revenue source, their energy exports.
Exclusively, yes. Yeah.
And so if you were in Saudi Arabia today, Kevin, and you saw an opportunity to very seriously impinge upon the future prospects of American energy and hammer their principal adversary in the Persian Gulf, namely Iran, perhaps along the trail, you know, shake things up with respect to two countries that I don't think they're terribly friendly with either, Venezuela or Russia. You see a pretty clear interest on the Saudis' part in doing this. I guess the question that would be worth just a quick conversation about is what should the United States do to mitigate at least the impact on us, if perhaps we would benefit as well from the deleterious effects on these other three countries?
Sure, and we do benefit in that way. So what we have to do is find some way to protect the domestic shale capability. And there are a number of ways to do that, some with involving government intervention and some avoiding it. But regardless, we need to declare the American energy development a national security imperative and do something that protects its ability to rebound when oil prices rebound.
Well, I guess that's the key question is, are there ways that we could essentially preserve this capability if we're not tapping it? Maybe that's simply by ensuring that the capacity to tap it in the future is protected. But we'll talk more about that perhaps on another occasion with you, Kevin. I do want to hit a couple of other aspects of this economic warfare to which we seem to be being subjected at the moment by, well, the Saudis among others. Talk, if you would, about the currency status we enjoy, the reserve currency status we enjoy today, Kevin, and what seems to be afoot in several quarters to take that away from us?
Well, another integral part of our continuing economic national security and otherwise, our complete national security picture is not only that we have the energy capabilities, but we also have the reserve currency of the world. That means when people buy and sell from one country to another, they exchange into dollars and use those, which is necessary if you're going to fund an $18 trillion federal debt. You need an active market to buy that debt. We enjoy that now and have enjoyed that for decades. There is a move by the Russians primarily, but supported with the Chinese and others, to actually remove that ability, that status from us, and they've created alternative institutions that means that the dollar will not be used going forward in the future. We don't see it, we don't feel it, because the dollar right now is the strongest currency in the world. And we're enjoying an amazing strength for the dollar, mostly because all the other currencies are devaluing themselves to try and get their economy started.
And to the extent that this were to be successful, and I want to get from you sort of what has to happen for it to be successful, but maybe before we do that, what are the implications for the United States, for our economy, for our debt, for our prosperity, if we were, in fact, to see the dollar supplanted, as other currencies have been in the past, as the world reserve currency? Kevin Freeman.
We owe $18 trillion. A bunch of that we owe to ourselves, but well north of $6 trillion is owed to foreigners, and that's growing on a continuing daily basis. When we go to finance our debt of the federal government, every year we have to roll over and take back debt and issue new debt. It only works if we know that there's an active market of people who want to own dollars. If that were removed and people started trading in Chinese renminbi or some other currency, United Nations special drawing rights or any other currency, then all of a sudden we'd roll over the debt and nobody'd buy it. Interest rates would go up, and they'd go up rather dramatically. We would have to print money, and the Federal Reserve would have to be the only buyer of debt, even though they're the primary buyer. They'd be the exclusive buyer, and eventually nobody would want dollars anymore, and the currency would collapse. And a collapsed currency creates all kinds of economic problems. It can lead to a depression. It can lead to hyperinflation. It can lead to all sorts of things. Best guess is the American standard of living would drop 40 to 50% if we suddenly lost the reserve currency status, not gradually, but suddenly we'd lose 40 to 50% of our standard of living.
Well, that's kind of an alarm that should be sounded, and we're grateful to you for doing so. Kevin Freeman, we're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, I just want to spend another moment with you talking about what exactly has to happen for that disaster to befall us. Kevin Freeman is our guest, the founder and CEO of Freeman Global Investment Counsel and author of Secret Weapon and Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.